የዛሬ
ሚያዊ ዞ
and welcome once again to Africa's Untold Stories. Today is a serum episode, so you know what to expect. Weird stuff, folklore stuff.
Yeah.
So
this one's not even that weird. This is not even my usual, like.
Oh, that's kind of disappointing.
I know, right? I am so sad, but it's fine.
We come for the weird serum. The people come for the weird, and you just like decided to give them.
I went normal this time. I am so sorry. I will bring the weird next time. But yes, this story is a pretty normal one. And we'll be getting this story from the Amazigh people in Morocco, which...
Ofori, you forget the plural.
The Imazighen. Yes, the Imazighen.
There we go.
Yes. But yeah, this story is particularly coming from Morocco. And I'll let you do the brief expansion on who the Imazighen are. And if they want more, they can find out in our episode on the Imazighen.
Yeah, I guess by this point, I've just assumed that all those who listen to us know the Imazighen. But I guess there are people who this might be their first episode or whatnot. But anyway, the Imazighen are they are an ethnic group native to the North Africa, mainly found west of Egypt. Yes, there are a few in Egypt, but mainly found west of Egypt in North Africa and parts of Niger, Mali, Mauritania, and Canary Islands. They were the pre-Arabian people of North Africa, and today they are still there, although largely mixed in with the Arabs. There are some that's strictly identified as Imazighen, though. The largest population, I think, would be in Morocco today.
Yeah.
Or Algeria. Morocco, right. Or Algeria, one of them.
All right. Yes. So, the story we're going to be looking at today is the story of one of the Amazigh gods called, or the Imazighen gods, called Anza, who is the god of rain. And this folktale leads to a particular ritual performed by the Amazigh people. So it's a very short story, like I said. It's pretty normal, sadly. No, okay, not sadly. I think it's a welcome break from the usual weird I bring. It's a welcome break from the usual weird I bring. And especially after the previous long episode, I think a short one is a nice... calming relief break sort of thing before we move on to other long weird ones. Okay, so Anza, like I said, is the god of rain, and the story goes like this. So the land used to be filled with a lot of water, a lot of rain that was provided by Anza, particularly because he loved to watch a certain maiden who enjoyed bathing and swimming in the river, right? Who used to love to swim in the river, and he enjoyed watching. As weird as that sounds, I guess he's a god, so he gets a pass for that. But he enjoyed watching her, and he eventually grew to fall in love with this.
No, hold on. Two things. One, I'm still waiting for a story where the stalker god is a female, like a goddess who is doing the stalking, not a guy.
Uh-huh.
And two, she used to go to the river to bathe, and he always saw her going to the river to bathe, and he fell in love with her.
Yes.
That's what you said, right?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Please proceed.
Yes. And like I was saying, he loved watching her bathe. Thankfully, he did not take the path of, if you remember the Iwa Olunga story where there was an impregnating by the waters thing happening.
Right, yeah, I remember that.
At least did not happen here. So he just talked. He didn't force himself.
So, oh, such a gentleman.
I know. It's like the barest minimum, but he gets props for that, considering the other stuff we've heard. But yes.
Yeah, yeah.
He used to enjoy watching her, but he finally approached her one day, the maiden, letters, and she rejected his advances, which I didn't even think was a possibility. Like, when I was reading the story up until this part, I was like, wait, you're allowed to do that?
Yeah, I guess.
You're allowed to say
you're allowed to say that to a god, I guess. Such a respectful god.
Yeah, but this is the problem with saying no to a god like Anza, the god of rain, is that he took that rejection personally and withdrew from the land. And when the god of rain withdraws from the land, that's drought.
I mean, he was heartbroken. You know, it's like, so I guess she rejected him, so he was heartbroken. He was like, oh, okay. And then, like, he went into his corner and left everything, and then there was a drought that came, essentially. That's it, right?
Exactly that. Some accounts say he was angry, but it's more like he was heartbroken because, like I said, he used to come down particularly because he enjoyed watching her do that. Right. So rain comes down. Yes. And now that he's been rejected, he withdrew.
Mm-hmm.
And when he withdrew, a severe drought hits the land.
Women are powerful, though.
Yes. Women are seriously powerful. So the people began to suffer, and the rivers dried up, the herd started dying, or basically the stuff they were depending on to survive, them, their flock of cattle, all those things, like, started dying because there's a drought. Stuff's dried up.
Mm.
And so, out of desperation, and because of how much the people were suffering, the girl, the maiden that he fell in love with, that rejected him,
right,
decided to call on to him once more and beg for him to come back. So I guess you are allowed to say no, but then when the consequence hits, you have no option but to accept it in the end. So she called for him to come back, and apparently when he responded, he came in like immense lightning, and lightning usually is like probably like a crazy storm hit the land when he came back. So it was like severe drought and then a mad overflow because he's finally gotten the maiden or the person he loves to come back. And the story ends with him hugging the woman, and the river began to flow again. The whole earth was covered with greenery. It was beautiful, balance restored, happily ever after, blah, 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 blah. Scene, right? But then the relevance of this story in the culture of the Imazighed, the relevance of this story in the culture of the Imazighed is that some of the tribes to this day perform a certain ritual where they take, the ritual is called Taonja. I don't know, you know, I'll just spell it. I've seen like four different spellings of it, but I'll spell it for you. So it spells T-A-L-G-H-N-J-A.
T-A-L-G-H-N-J-A.
Yes.
Mm.
There are so many consonants back to back, I don't know how to pronounce that. Yes. In some versions, they put like an O and E somewhere to make it like Talgonja or Talgen. Yeah, something like that. Yes. But I'm guessing this is the original way it's supposed to be pronounced. But yes. The relevance of this story is that some of the Imazighed tribes still perform this ritual of Taonja. Let's call it that. If anybody hears this and they are original speakers of the language and you want to correct us, please send us an audio. But the ritual is performed usually where they dress up a pestle, like the pestle that we used to pound fufu in Ghana, right? For other folks, that would be like a long wooden stick. Very, very big wooden stick. They dress up the pestle like a woman, and they give her ladles for arms, and like they dress up really beautifully. There are some pictures here. I think I would submit this so we share it on our socials. They dress the person up very beautifully, give her a headscarf.
I think we'll put the pictures in, a link to the pictures in our description.
Yeah, we'll definitely share where we get the information from as well. But yes, if you look at the pictures, I'll describe it for you. It's like a beautifully dressed up person wearing necklaces, a headscarf. It's like a full regalia. It's an amazing thing. And they give it ladles for hands. And it's a ritual performed to call down rain. So the name of the ritual, what I mentioned, it translates to the Bride of Anza. And that's a ritual that's performed by the people to ask the heavens for rain when they are, you know, in a period of drought, or when they decide that it's too much and they need water. This is the prayer, or this is the ritual they say to ask the heavens for water. And that's the relevance of this. And this is thankfully, this is done instead of using an actual person. Like, the doll is the symbol that's used to replace the Bride of Anza. I'm guessing, I don't know if it always started as that, but
it's not like they destroy the doll or anything. They don't kill it, right?
Yeah. They just
so even they use there. An actual human being, it wouldn't make much of a difference.
I'm guessing, because if they use an actual human being, it means the person would have to like hold that position until rain comes or something. I really don't know.
Okay. I get you.
Yes. And so I'm like, just this one is a very calm, very nice, very simple and quick story on one of the Imazighen practices where, because of their attachment to nature, because of how involved they are and how nature is involved in their lifestyle, particularly, they have rituals like this, and they have stories like this that explains the rituals that they perform to ask for rain, for instance. Yeah, so this is the simple story. Also, it was kind of I think I was telling you this. It was crazy when I was trying to look for folk tales from this region, because I kept running into folk tales which had like Arabian origins. And then when I dig further back, I ran into some that have like Greek, that sound like a lot more like Greek mythology than, which is probably a topic for another day, because of how interconnected the Imazighen folklore and Greek mythology is, from what I have uncovered in my research. Yes. But this is one of the few Imazighen stories that remained untouched in its delivery, in its essence, basically.
Yeah. I see. Yeah. I mean, from the story that you said, my takeaway would be, I guess, what you call it, the significance of the woman, woman in the whole ritual thingy. So it's like the woman has the ability to call down rain, in essence. Like, that's the whole thinking. The woman has the ability to call down rain.
Yes.
The woman has, which is why I passed the earlier comment that women are powerful, apparently.
Women are powerful, for real.
the only other thing I will pass in, like, about this is, I think it does that whole I guess that concept does seem to reflect in Imazighen thinking, you know, kind of thing, their culture, because as far as I know, you know, I mean, in every most countries around the world, the whole patriarchal system means that women typically, it was harder for a woman to play a larger role in society, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But interestingly, if you look at throughout the Middle East and North Africa, the Arab world in general, and you look at the places where powerful queens have risen, the Imazighen do have this, pre-Arabian culture where it was easier for a woman to rise up, you know, compared to post the Arabian conquest. But even today, they still have aspects of those things. So I guess that's why it's kind of more, you're more likely to see women in higher positions in the North African countries as opposed to the peninsula, the Arabian Peninsula countries.
Mm. Indeed. So yeah, sorry I did not bring the weird today, but I think this was a refreshing story nonetheless.
I mean, this is a much simpler story than anything. I think this is probably the simplest story we've done. Don't worry. Yes, we return to the weird and uncomfortable next week.
Yes, we do. And I look forward to that too.
yeah. Next week we'll be moving on with the slavery in what you call it? Eastern Africa. Sorry, not next week, the week after that, I guess.
We'll be moving on to that.
So anyway, I guess that brings us to the end.
Yes, that does bring us to the end of this episode.
All right. Please like, share, subscribe, and also comment down there if you're using Spotify or any of our platforms or emails, whatever. We're always open. So yeah. Thanks for listening. Till next time, peace.